Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein. In Chavakuk chapter 1, the prophet accuses Hashem of standing back and allowing moral violence, Hamas, to go unchecked. Then, when Hashem informs Chavakuk that he is bringing the Babylonians as punishment, Chavakuk then levels another accusation. The Babylonians are pure evil, arguably more evil than the Judeans. How is this just? How will Hashem answer these accusations? The chapter begins with Chavakuk positioning himself on a watchtower, waiting for Hashem's response to these accusations. In verse 1, Chavakuk says, "E'emod mishmati ve'etzapel l'rot ma'i deber bi u'ma ashiv al tochachti. I'll stand in my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint." You can see Chavakuk's stubborn nature in these words. He's not budging until he hears an answer. This stubborn quality, in fact, led the rabbis to suggest that Choni HaMa'agel, Choni the circle maker, was inspired by Chavakuk. And it's worth pausing for a moment to consider who this personality Choni is and why the rabbis suggest that he's linked somehow to Chavakuk. Understanding Choni's story can almost serve as a sort of commentary on Chavakuk. I'll focus on the more famous version in the Babylonian Talmud, from Masechet Ta'anit. His story is as follows. Once, late in the month of Adar, rain still hadn't fallen, and the people, desperate for relief, turned to Choni for help. So he prays for rain, but nothing happens. Determined, he draws a circle in the dust and stands inside of it. He turns to Hashem and he says, "Master of the universe, I will not leave this circle until you have mercy on your children and send rain." Rain begins to fall, but only in light drizzles. So Choni's students pleaded with him, "This really isn't enough to save us." And so Choni prays again, asking for rain that would be enough to fill the reservoirs. And torrential rain follows, but the torrential rain seems to threaten destruction. And so the students, now frightened, say to Choni, "Please stop, this rain will ruin everything." So once more, Choni turns to Hashem in prayer, and he asks that the rain be rain of blessing and kindness. And finally, steady, gentle rain begins to fall, enough to replenish the land without harm. But the rain doesn't stop. So eventually, the people begin to seek refuge inside the Temple Mount. And they ask him to pray for the rain to stop. But this time, Choni hesitates. He offers a sacrificial offering of thanks, and then he does conclude with one prayer. "Your people cannot bear too much punishment or too much blessing. Please bring relief." Immediately, the skies clear, the sun shines, and the people go out to the fields and find truffles and mushrooms from this abundant rain. The Talmud shares this story with us and emphasizes that Choni learned this behavior from Chavakuk. Through his own experiences, Choni both learns and teaches his students that divine answers, whether for rain or perhaps for justice, aren't always immediate and don't always develop in exactly the ways that humans expect or desire. As we proceed in our studies on Chavakuk chapter 2, we'll see that that's exactly the lesson that Hashem teaches Chavakuk. In the next few verses in chapter 2, Chavakuk is instructed to write down a message, but he's told that even though the message might take a long time to come to fruition, he needs to wait for it to come true. As it says in verse 3, "Ki od chazon lamoed v'yafech laketz, v'lo yechazev imit ma'mea, chakelo, ki vo yavo lo ye'acher." There is yet a prophecy for a set term, a truthful witness for a time that will come. Even if it tarries, wait for it still, for it will surely come without delay. These words are echoed in the Ani Mamins that we recite, but they also contain a bit of a paradox. How can it be that a message has a set time for coming true, but at the same time require us to wait extra time for it to come? Hashem seems to be emphasizing to Chavakuk that divine justice sometimes defies human logic. The vision will come to fruition at the right time, But there's a catch. It might not align with our sense of timing. Hashem asks for trust and perseverance, even when the path seems unclear. And this message continues and is reinforced in the very next verse, in verse 4. Tzadik be'emunato yichyeh. The righteous one shall live by his faith. This prophecy to Habakkuk is then reinforced in the next few verses, as there's a message about Babylonia's coming destruction and the consequences for their own evil behavior. Remember, in chapter 1, Habakkuk questioned the justice. If the Babylonians are evil themselves, how is it that Hashem is using them to bring about punishment for the Judeans? Now Hashem emphasizes to Habakkuk, don't worry, the Babylonians will get their own justice. They'll get their own punishment. As verse 12 tells us, Hoy bone ir b'damim mechonen kirya ba'avla, you who have built a town with crime and established a city with infamy. And verse 15, Mashke re'eu mesapea chamatcha ve'af shaker leman habit al me'orehem. You who make others drink to intoxication as you pour out your wrath in order to gaze upon their nakedness. The evils of the Babylonian society are emphasized. Their slave labor, their idol worship, their unjust economic practices. All of these practices are emphasized, and Hashem reassures Habakkuk they will face a reckoning for the evil that they've caused. Just because Hashem uses them to punish Israel doesn't mean that Hashem endorses their behavior. But will this answer satisfy Habakkuk? We'll have to see in chapter 3 how Habakkuk responds to Hashem's insistence that divine justice isn't something that humans can always understand. I welcome your feedback and questions. You can email me at adinablaustein@gmail.com. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloit Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.